ABC Radio Australia.
A first of its kind study likened the waste discharge from deep sea mining operation to junk food for the marine life in the impact zones. The research from the University of Hawaii drew on data gathered from the Clarion-Clipperton Zone, or CCZ, an area of the Pacific Ocean, which has drawn interest from mining companies because its seabed is covered in nodules rich in valuable metals. Co-author Brian Pope, a professor of earth sciences and expert in marine stable isotope biogeochemistry, told Lucy Cooper, companies put vehicles on the seafloor to collect nodules, but it's the waste from mining operation which could have an adverse impact on marine life.
They will either scrape up or suck up the nodules, but there's also seawater that comes up with that and sediment. And that goes up 4.5 kilometers to a ship where the nodules are separated from everything else. Now, they have to put that water back, otherwise the ship's going to sink if it takes on too much water. So they return it to the seafloor, and it was proposed, at least by some, to return it at 1,250 meters, so just over a kilometer under the seafloor, or under the sea surface. And we wanted to know what animals were there, what they ate, and, you know, how they made a living. We also wanted to know the size of particles that they obtained their nutrition from. And we were focused on understanding how, in particular, particles would impact the base of that food web. Would they simply dilute the natural particles that were there? And did that have a detrimental effect on the animals that live at those depths?
And what did you find?
What we found is that, yes, they indeed did. The particles that the small animals that live at those depths that eat those particles directly, the mine waste would displace them with particles that have very, very low nutrition. So it's kind of like dumping junk food into the ocean and diluting the natural food that's present there.
What was the motivation behind this study for yourself and the other researchers?
For us, we've been studying this area of the ocean through research grants from a number of sources, mainly the National Science Foundation. And for us, it was nirvana. We could go to this area of the ocean. It's really difficult to get to. It turned out that there was another purpose to it that also addressed potential economic and environmental impacts of mining.
The study found that waste discharge from deep sea mining operations in the Clarion-Clipperton zone could disrupt marine life in that midwater twilight zone that you mentioned, that area between 200 to 1500 metres below sea level. It specifically found that 53% of all zooplankton and 60% of micronecton, which feed on zooplankton, would be impacted by the discharge. How does this kind of impact on these teeny tiny, you know, kind of animals and basic food building blocks impact, say, something that the rest of the world would think about in terms of a whale or a dolphin or a seal, say?
The zooplankton are tiny. They're microscopic. But they're the ones that sit very near the base of the food web throughout the ocean. They're feeding on particles, and it's those particles that are being released by mining that we believe will impact the zooplankton diet. Because the particles they're releasing are very, very low in nutrients. And then their food, the zooplankton are food for the micronecton. But the micronecton, they also are part of the food web, and they get eaten by the kinds of animals that we care about, whether they're charismatic macrofauna like whales or other cetaceans, or whether they're a commercial fish that we like to see eventually upon our dinner plate. So they're an integral link to the animals that we really care about, because those animals can dive down to those depths to get their dinner, the micronectin.
How do you hope this study will influence, say, the International Seabed Authorities or the United States National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's decision-making?
Well, we hope that they will realize that, the decisions they're making should be based on science. That seems to be a novel concept now in the United States, use science to make decisions like this. But we hope that our findings will allow policymakers and others to help identify what needs to be monitored and what needs to be studied more.